what do I really enjoy, right? I really enjoy like talking to you, talking to investors. I really enjoy finding a good project, right? Like, hey, we got a good project. Sounds great. Let's go ahead and, you know, let's get it closed. You know, as far as like, you know, doing the phone calls and doing, I don't enjoy all that, but I'll set it up, right? I'll have a team to do it. Stabilizing the project, dealing with the property manager or the construction crew. I don't like to do that, but that's why I have a staff that's what they love to do, right? Mm. And they're way better at it than me. One of the biggest things is make sure you're not afraid to hire somebody who's smarter than you. Because if you're the smartest one there, then it's, you know, it would be bad if I was the smartest one in the company.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I am your host, as always, Yona Weiss. It's a pleasure for you to be joining me today. And today I'm very fortunate to have with us Javier Hinojo, all the way out in North Carolina. What's going on, Javier?
Not much. Staying a little warm. It's chilly outside, but thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure is mine, man. This guy's a rock star, man. Seriously, we met last year back in LA, back at Rod Khalif's event, which was a phenomenal place. Tons of great people in the room there, but you stood out because to me, you and your partner, Moo, were just like rock stars. I mean, you guys were there just to soak up the connections, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those people, how can I find my next deal? And what I found from you, just, I love to give a little bit of context, you know, sure, who we're talking to before we get in here. So I'm going to a little bit, right? Javier's been in the real estate business for a number of years. They used to be fully focused on single families, fix and flips, yeah, wholesaling, like all in, doing hundreds of properties, like crazy amount of volume. And then you just like one day, it's like cold turkey. Let's stop.
Yep.
Just go into multifamilies, go into commercial. Let's switch gears. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, but he's got an incredible story. I mean, literally going from bankrupt to, you know, not bankrupt, but basically like a few pennies in your pocket to,
yep,
to where you are today, which is having, you know, in less than 18 months, okay, we're talking, now we're in February of 2021 already. You guys have already 459 units, okay, across four properties and many more, a couple more under contract, right?
Yep.
And many more in the pipeline. I mean, you guys have a goal. Your Facebook group is called, you know, $1 billion real estate for a reason, right? The plan is to scale up. So without further ado, Javier, tell me, what was it about, you know, single family, multifamily? What was that big shift? How did that happen?
So I was at a mastermind with some high level investors all over the country, a really good mastermind. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm sitting next, I'm with my wife and I'm, you know, we're like, hey, we're flipping about 50 properties a year. And we said, hey, let's go to 100, 150. And so let's join a mastermind and, you know, learn from people who've done it before. So I'm sitting next to people flipping, you know, a couple hundred properties a year, some people wholesaling thousands of properties a year. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. These guys have really, really accomplished a lot of great stuff. And I just saw the time and energy that you had to put into that. And sure, you make a lot of money. And I told my wife, I said, I don't want to do that. Honestly, I don't think I really enjoyed flipping. I know I didn't. My wife's a way better flipper than I am. She's a better negotiator. It was just very transactional. Even if you could keep a couple of properties here and there, right? I just, the scalability for me, just for my personal opinion, it's not what I was looking for.
Right.
And, I just told my wife, hey, let's just quit and sell everything and start from scratch. I mean, that was basically it. I felt like I was going to scale to unhappiness, if that makes sense.
Listen, it's all about your feeling, right? It's how you go approach your business. And if you don't feel it, if it doesn't move you as an entrepreneur, right? As someone who's self-employed, someone who's trying to, you know, start a business here, do business. If it's not driving you and like, you're not happy with it. So yeah, stop it. Right. Like figure something else out. Right. Everyone's got their own way.
Yeah. That was like in September, October, 2019. And it was like late September, early October. And my wife looked at me and she said, how much time do you need? And I said, I don't know, maybe 2 years. I didn't know any better, you know? And then by December of that year, we closed our first, I had a part of play on a closing in outside of Charleston, South Carolina. And then we met in January. And then from there to now, right, we've closed another 400, almost 400 doors. And we have a 700 under contract and feel pretty confident we'll close about 500 of those. They're already, we got already our commitment letters, right, on our loans and the money's raised. And we're pretty confident we'll close about, you know, 500. So we'll just double like overnight. That's why I love commercial multifamily. You can just double right away.
And what happens when you do that, I think, you know, just to kind of drive the point home, is that, you know, single family, like you said, it's a very difficult business to scale. There's so much energy, so much effort that needs to go into it. In a multifamily business, you can scale. Obviously, there's energy, there's time, there's effort, but you can scale pretty quickly. And what you do by that, it's not just transactional. You're getting cash flow and you're getting appreciation. You're getting all those benefits that come along with it. So I think it's pretty incredible for someone like to kind of switch gears, you know, midlife, just to do and go full force. It wasn't just like, oh, let's switch gears and let's try this out. It's like, no, let's do this and let's go gung-ho, right, all the way into this.
Yeah. So it was just like, hey, let's quit the next day. You know, I pretty much let go of my staff and I just sold my properties and just started from scratch, really, right? I said, I got to put a team together. I got to put, you know, I had great people working for me. Just, you know, just not the time and place. It just wasn't the right. It wasn't the right fit. You got to have the right seats. And I started from scratch. And I got some A players on the team. Definitely takes a lot of pressure off my back. My partner is in Houston. His name is Moo, like a cow, Moo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's a great relationship. You know, we feed off each other, and I see him every couple of months, which is also good. Sorry. Oh, that's my Siri going off here. I see him every couple of months, which is great. We talk on the phone a few times a week, and our partnership is working well. And I told my wife, honey, I've been married 23 years. I say, hey, look, it's working really well with Moo, because I don't see him, but you know, every 2 or 3 months. Can I move out Monday or Friday and just take you out the weekends? And she's like, no, you can't just move out. You know, like, okay, it didn't work. Yeah.
You gotta make it work on a daily basis.
I tried.
Yeah. Wow. What would you say has been your biggest, you know, driving factor to this success, I'd say, so far?
Just being persistent. My acquisition, my director of acquisition, he mentioned the other day, like, that somebody had told him, hey, if I could teach one thing, would it be being persistent, right? Don't quit. I'm like, man, that's perfect. Just got to be persistent, right? Don't quit. And I just wanted to, you know, just switch from, you know, single family to multifamily or commercial, just because the scalability, right? It's, you can double right away.
Yeah.
It's the biggest
and,
thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And, you know, the persistence, I think, is important. But, you know, do you have mentors in your life? You have people that are pushing you, that are coaching you? Like, how are you just doing on your own?
Yeah. So, you know, I believe there's certain place you are in life, right? There's always somebody's at your level, right? Mm-hmm. You got to hang out with the right people. I ask people all the time. They ask me, hey, how do you raise the money? How are you doing this? How are you doing this? How are you doing this? I'm like, well, where are you hanging out? You know, right? Who are you talking to every day? Mm-hmm. Right? You're watching TV all day. I mean, what are you doing? I'm watching the news. I mean, where are you spending your time? Right. So you got your peers, right? And then I believe there's somebody always up there you're looking at and you're striving. It's like your mentor, your coach, you know, just somebody you want to be like, or you want to, you know, you want to get to. And there's always somebody you're bringing up, right? There's always somebody you're teaching, right? Just kind of, it's a good flow, right?
You have to have those relationships.
So you got to have a lot of relationships. You got to, you know, join some coaching programs or some mentorships with people who've got a proven track record. There's a lot of good ones out there. There's some bad ones, but there's a lot of good ones.
Awesome. And are you, you know, is the plan, I mean, what's behind the $1 billion real estate? I mean, is that a real, real goal?
Yeah, for sure. The Facebook group, I said, I'm going to start a Facebook group. And what am I going to call this, right? $1 billion multifamily and commercial real estate. So when I met my partner, Moo, you know, I thought to myself, what's a good number? Let me back up.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I was flipping properties, I flipped my first property. I made like 17K and I split it with my partner, with somebody I JV'd with, my partner. Mm-hmm. I said, man, I got to do a lot of these to make a lot of money. Right. It was the first one. And I didn't see myself doing 10 flips a year until I met somebody doing 25. Mm-hmm. Then I met somebody doing 50. Then I met somebody doing 100. I'm like, oh my gosh. Right. Definitely can do it. Right. And then I got into commercial. Somebody said, hey, I want to have $100 million worth of properties. Oh, wow. You can do that. And then you meet somebody who's got $500 million. Like, oh my gosh, I can do that. So going back to the Facebook group, it's just about belief, right? And the name or the $1 billion, right? I say, hey, the $1 billion sounds wonderful, right? It sounds like a nice number. And let's get to that. And then we reverse engineer it, give ourselves a 10-year plan. And to give you an example, you don't really know when you set such a long-term plan how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to buy $32 million our first year, and we ended up buying $27 million. So, you know, we missed it by $5 million. I'm not going to cry.
Right.
And for this year, we should hit our goal for the year by the summer.
Right. So there you go. It's just about, it's about the ability to scale and it's
ability to scale and just, yeah, mindset, right? Mindset. If I say I want to hit $1 billion and I hit 150, am I going to cry? Yeah, I'll be very disappointed in myself. I would be. I'm hard on myself. But you got to, you know, you got to at the same time aim high, but set realistic expectations.
Let's talk about the mindset there for a little bit. Like, do you have certain rituals that you do? I mean, are you sit down daily to set your goals? Like, how do you work on your mindset? Or is it just something that's been ingrained in you that you just take for granted?
So I saw a post the other day, which I thought was amazing. Somebody asked Elon Musk, hey, do you have any advice, you know, or any words for an entrepreneur, right? Like any encouragement, words of encouragement. He's like, if you need words of encouragement, don't be an entrepreneur, right? Right. It's like makes total sense, right? It makes total sense, right? If you need motivation, if you need this, you need that, don't do it, because you got to have a drive inside of you. And motivation sucks, in my opinion. That's terrible, right? You got to have a purpose. So, you know, I don't really have a ritual. I mean, I'll go for walks here and there. I don't have a routine. You know, I just get to work. I know if I settle down, my attention span is like that, right? So it doesn't work very well. I got to find a coach. How about that? I need to find a coach that'll help me like settle down, meditate. I don't know, do something, right? Because I'm always 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, you're a hard worker. That's for sure. Anyone that knows you, right, knows that your drive, you know, overdrive, yep. Right? You're just pushing the limits. So that's pretty incredible. You said about, I want to touch on the point that you mentioned before, how you know, you're in the business together with your wife, like she was a flipping business. She was better than you. What's her role in the multifamily business?
Look, so I told her, hey, honey, what do you want to do? And she's like, she stayed home with the kids at the beginning when we got married. She helped me out when I started my first business before we had kids. And then when I started flipping, she started helping me, and all our kids were in school. But I think she wanted to be, I asked her, what do you want to do? She's like, I want to come home. You know, I want to stay home with the kids. I'm like, I don't know why you want to do that. It's a lot of work. But, you know, that's what she did. That makes her happy. You know, that makes her happy. So she'll do some flips during the year, you know, and she enjoys that. But she's pretty much staying home. She doesn't have a lot to do as far as on the side of the business. But I mean, she's still involved. You know, she's kind of knows what's going on.
Awesome. I think it's important. Both things are so important. My wife as well is, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom. That's what she loves to do. She loves being with the kids. And I love that because, you know, listen, you get so much better upbringing and better love that if you have that attention at a young age. So that's amazing. Give me a little insight, if you wouldn't mind, into, you know, what is you said the 10-year goal is $1 billion, right? $1 billion, 10-year goal. And, you know, you're on your way there, right? You're finding properties, you're finding deals. How are you finding those deals? Let's talk about that for a second.
Well, you text them to me all the time. You
know, I know.
Like, Javier, I got a deal for you. Like, oh, awesome.
Yeah, right.
That's the secret, guys. I'll see you later.
There you go. No, but seriously, I remember you telling me that you had a whole team finding your single family properties. You have a similar system set up for this?
We got pretty much the same system. Right now, I believe we have 15 or 16 people on staff. Some are virtual, some are actually here locally. And, you know, we do a lot of traditional, we do a lot of calls, and we get our deal flow that way. One of the biggest things that really changed our deal flow was being able to close during COVID. We had a property that fell out of contract, you know, the first few months when COVID hit, like a lot of other properties did, especially in a bridge financing. It was an unstable property, but we were still able to close, you know, three properties during COVID, like, June, July, August, you know. It's, and once we did that, like our deal flow just opened up. Just for people that I know that are out there looking for deals and looking to partner, they started sending me deals because they knew we can close. Mm-hmm. And brokers, like, oh, they close on a 50% occupied building, I'm going to send these guys some deals. That's really what got our deal flow like 10x.
Wow. How do you close on a 50% occupied building? Just out of curiosity. I know you guys do like some big, heavy, you know, repositions. Yeah. Is that right?
I don't know. It was tough. It was tough. There's a couple of different ways you got to do it, but if the project is good, right, and you got some investors that believe in the project, you believe in the project, you just got to find the right local bank, you know, the right connection. Maybe this traditional bridge lender is not going to work, so you got to go local. So yeah, somebody said, was it like brain damage? I go, no, it wasn't brain damage. It was just a lot of work. Brain damage was flipping houses, right? Like I look like I'm 42, but I'm 24 years old because I used to flip houses. I say that all the time.
Oh man, that's funny. It's true. It does take a big toll on you. Flipping houses, dealing with contractors, dealing with vendors, all kinds of stuff, right? It's just, sure. It's ridiculous. It's hard to do.
But closing a 50% occupied project, you know, I'm very blessed that Amu is my partner. He's got a finance degree. Our COO, George, he's got a finance degree. Heck, our director of acquisition has a finance degree. I'm the only one with a high school degree, right? High school pushout, C+ student, but we all work together, right? We made it happen. You know, we just made sure that, you know, we got it closed and we got great terms on him as well. One of them, we had to close cash. One, we just bought it straight up cash.
Straight up cash.
And then, yeah, wow. Straight up cash. And then, and then refinance afterwards.
So you brought in a bunch of investors, yeah, to make that happen.
Well, yeah, I think my partner and I ended up putting about half the money, a little bit more than half. And then other investors put the other half. And then we refinanced out like in 60 days.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yep.
Because once the bank sees that you have it and you're getting it stable, yeah, you can make it happen.
Well, that's, it was awesome. A great deal. It has to be a good deal. I don't recommend doing that because it doesn't guarantee you that the bank's going to refinance you in the back end. So don't do it, right? Unless you pretty damn certain you got a good deal, right? It was not a very expensive property. It was a 72 unit. We bought it for 1.3 million. And then when the bank, we knew it was worth more. We thought it was worth like 2.4, 2.5 at purchase. Mm-hmm. And when the lender came out and did an appraisal, their appraisal came back at 3.4 million, like, wow, overnight, right? So $2 million worth of equity overnight.
That's incredible.
So that kind of deal will buy cash.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. That, yep, makes tremendous sense. What's your favorite part about this new business that you started?
Look, so starting from the beginning, right, there's a lot of stuff that I don't enjoy. Like, I can't sit in front of a spreadsheet. I don't enjoy construction, right? I don't enjoy it. I have a company that, you know, has a GC license and we can open it up in 17 states. Don't tell nobody that. Okay?
this is only going to be listened to by thousands of people.
Okay, all right. Don't tell nobody that, right? So, I mean, we can do a lot of stuff like that. But what do I really enjoy, right? I really enjoy like talking to you, talking to investors. I really enjoy finding a good project, right? The like, hey, we got a good project. Sounds great. Let's go ahead and, let's get it closed. You know, as far as like, you know, doing the phone calls and doing, I don't enjoy all that, but I'll set it up, right? Okay. I'll have a team to do it. Stabilizing the project, dealing with the property manager or the construction crew. I don't like to do that, but that's why I have a staff that's what they love to do, right? Mm. And they're way better at it than me. One of the biggest things is, make sure you're not afraid to hire somebody who's smarter than you. Because if you're the smartest one there, then it's, you know, it would be bad if I was the smartest one in the company.
Right. Well, that'd be good. Yeah. I mean, but I think that's really important point you're bringing out there is that don't try to do something that you don't like to do. I mean, regardless, yeah, of whether you're smart or not, like if someone else is good at it, if you don't like construction, don't do it. I mean, find someone else. There are people that do like it.
And oh yeah. They love it. Those partners. For sure.
I'm the same, yep, way. Like I, you know, let's get the project started. Let's get it going. And then, you know, pass it on with the operations, you know, pass it on yep. to the team, take care of it. You know, yep. they'll take it down the road.
So yeah. it's a team business, right? Like a team sport. It's really challenging to do it on your own. So if you got some good partners or good people on staff, it just makes it go so much smoother, right? You're able to sleep at night a little better.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's really what I've seen and what we're talking about now is that it really is a team sport, and don't try to go about it on your own. There's so much value you can bring if you just figure out what it is that you do best. And I think the advice for anyone listening here is if you have a dream, right, or you have an idea that you think works, but you can't really, you know, execute on it, find other people that can fill in those gaps to those things that you can't do or you don't want to do, and together you'll be able to do it. I mean, I think
that's yeah. It's a find the who to do the what.
Find the who to do the what. That's awesome. Yep. Love that. So Javier, let's just jump right now into the final four, right? These are the four questions we asked towards the end of our episode over here. Love to hear from you. What's the worst job that you ever had?
The worst job that I ever had. Well, I was in the military and you had to wash dishes every once in a while. Man, that sucked. So washing dishes and the military kind of sucked. But now I actually enjoy washing dishes. Like if my kids is their day to do wash dishes, they'll say, "Dad, wash dishes for me." I go, "Okay." I love washing dishes at the house, but not in the military. That was tough.
Oh, wow. Such an incredible, difference, you know, who you're doing yep. it for, I guess, what the purpose is.
Yeah, that's funny. It was like 18 hour days, 20 hour days. It was tough.
Right. No, that for sure is tough. What's a book that you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
All right. So I've read one book my whole life, and a true story. And it's about a 16 minute read. It's called Mikey and the Dragons. It's like a children's book. It can be a children's book. It could be a book for a grown man. And it's pretty neat. It's just about conquering your dragons. They're not as big as you think they are, right? Mm-hmm. Like your problems are never as big as you think they are. You screw up, just go tell somebody you screwed up, right? Because in your mind, you're like, oh, what are they going to say? You start going through all these things in your mind. And when you tell them, they're like, oh, that sucks. Well, we'll fix it. And yeah. you're like, wow, that was easy. So most problems people have that they can't get from point A to point B, they create them in their own mind.
Wow. That's incredible. We actually,
and that's what that book gave me. Right. And that's Mikey. That's why I went to multifamily when I read that book.
Wow.
I said, I'm going to do it.
It's Mikey and the Dragons.
Mikey and the Dragons by the Navy SEAL, Jacko, I forget his name.
Oh, Jocko Willings.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Yep. Okay. It's got a lot of pictures, double space, thick words, my kind of book.
Very good. We'll check it out. That's great. Add that to the list over here. You know, we have actually a saying that in Hebrew, it comes from our sages, a few thousand years old, but it says, you know, if you have something, a worry in your heart, and it's really the same idea. If you have a worry in your heart, something you're worrying about, right? It says, speak to a friend, tell them about it, right? Because if you just keep it inside, like you said, it's just going to create this big dragon. It's going to create something that is uncontrollable, that you really don't think you think is conquerable. But once you actually speak to someone else about it, puts it in perspective and you actually just knock it out.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah.
Love that. So a third question for you, what is a skill or talent that you'd like to learn?
I'm like 5 feet, 5 inches, 5 feet, 6 inches in a good hair day. And I would love to dunk a basketball.
There you go. Spud Webb.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I would love to dunk a basketball.
Why not? You can do it with a trampoline or without.
Hey, I just said dunk a basketball, right? It's on somebody's shoulders. I don't care. I just want to dunk a basketball on a 10-foot basket.
There you go. Yep. Okay, work on it. You know, it's what it's all about.
Yep.
What does success mean to you?
You know, I believe success is when you're able to. You know, wherever you want to get financially, say you say it's financially or in business or in your life, and the people that are around you are the people that helped you get there, and you helped, you brought them with, like the analogy that I used before, right? You're always reaching out for some, trying to get somewhere, you're bringing somebody up, and you have your mm-hmm. peers. When you have all those people hanging out together, right? I think that's great. And I mean, I think that's, for me, that would be success. Yeah, for me personally. Now, what I would really love to see, I just don't know how that's going to feel, is like when my kids do projects with your kids or somebody else's kids listening to this, mm-hmm. when our kids do deals together and we have nothing to do with it. I think that's going to be like, it's like when your son or one of your kids beats you at something and you really tried and you're like, oh wow, I tried really hard and they still beat me. It's like a bittersweet. I think it's just, it'll be awesome to have our kids do deals together without their parents.
That's incredible. And it is, because, you know, that's one of the main reasons we're here, you know, just bring yep. our kids up, teach them right, and hopefully they go in the right direction. And if you're giving them the education that maybe you didn't have when you were a kid, you're giving them a lot of yep. opportunities. I think it's very possible. And that's an awesome goal to have. That's
all right. Hey, so was that four questions? That was four questions?
That was it.
I got four questions for you.
Let's do it.
All right. You get one pass. You can pass on one, okay?
One all right. Pass. Okay.
I'll pass. So what came first, chicken or the egg?
Pass.
Pass. Oh, you passed on that one. No. Oh, man. You shouldn't have passed on that one. Okay. Okay.
Is I might come back to it.
Okay. Yeah, you can come back to it. Is cereal a soup?
Say that again?
Is cereal a soup?
I don't know. What's the definition of a soup?
I don't know, right? It's got liquid and it's got stuff in here, right? I don't know. I would say, what do you think? Yes or no?
No
right or wrong answer. No. Okay. No. All right. If you could take any celebrity out on a date, who would it be?
I'd say my wife is a celebrity in my eyes. So there you go.
Wow. What an answer. That is a great answer. Okay. Last one. What is your favorite curse word?
I don't have any. I don't use okay. them. Okay. I keep a
clean mouth. So you get a pass on that one.
I keep a clean mouth.
I know you do, John. I just figured I'd ask you some questions here.
That'd be great.
So people can get the chance to know you as well. Absolutely. Everybody knows you. But it's just nice, right, to kind of get out and just, you know, have a casual conversation. Absolutely. And you kind of get to know how people are. It's great.
I'm glad you did. Thank you so much. Javier, where can our listeners find you or reach out to you? Obviously, Facebook group,
$1 billion multifamily commercial real estate. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, just my name, Javier Hinojo. Just YouTube as well. There's a whole bunch of videos on there. It's pretty easy. My dad and myself are the only ones with his name, so it won't be hard.
There you go. We'll make sure to put those links in the show notes over here. If anyone wants to reach out to you, definitely worth your while, especially that Facebook group. Guys, that's where it's happening. That's where people are closing deals. That's where people are learning and partnering. So make sure you go there and make sure you check out Javier and what they're doing. Allstate Capital, you guys are crushing it.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. The pleasure is all mine. And to our listeners, remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.